Good afternoon. You're tuned to Dusty Radio 104.5 FM, your local community radio station, and my name's Melissa. With the state government elections coming up in just a couple of weeks on the 19th of March, we're bringing you an interview with one of the candidates. Stephen Pallaras is an independent who's hoping to win a seat in the Legislative Council. He's come to our attention here at Dusty because one of his platforms is domestic violence and the need to change the way it's dealt with in the courts. Given Coober Pedy has the highest rate of domestic violence in the state, at least according to the statistics, we thought he was worth talking to. Stephen is not from South Australia. He was born in Victoria and spent many years in WA. To find out more about him and his concerns, Dusty reporter Penny Gale caught up with him last week and had a chat. And just a heads up, the discussion that takes place between Stephen and Penny does involve the topics of sexual assault in general, as well as other forms of domestic violence. So if you're a survivor, you might want to put on your emotional and mental protection measures as you listen to this interview.
You're no stranger to South Australia, although it's been a while since you've lived here. But tell me, why is South Australia the place you decided that you wanted to enter Parliament?
Well, we've been living here since 2005, so we've had a fair stint in South Australia. I came over originally in 2005 when I was appointed as the state's second director of public prosecutions. And from 2005 to 2012, I held that office of director. And after 2012, went to the Solomon Islands and was appointed a justice of the High Court and the Court of Appeal there. Spent 2 or 3 years up there, then came back to South Australia, where we continue to live. And it took the view that, well, all of us can see political issues that happen every day in our community. And we've got a choice. We can either ignore them or barrack from the sidelines and make comments or get up and do something about them. Now, I've been barracking from the sidelines for some time, even as DPP, and I thought, well, it's about time I actually decided to get up off my backside and do something about it. And that's why I've entered politics.
So your party, Real Change SA, if I look at your platforms and what you're standing for and what you're passionate about, there are certainly two areas that really resonate with the people of Coober Pedy, and that's around domestic violence and a better go for women in the justice system. Could you tell me a bit about the sort of consultation or how you decided that this was going to be something of a priority for you?
Absolutely. When, as I've just described, when I went to the Solomons as a judge, I originally went up there to deal with murder cases that the local judges could not deal with after their recent riots and virtual revolution, because it being such a village society, many of the judges, in fact all of the judges, were related to either the accused in the murder cases or the victims or witnesses. So they needed an independent judge to go up there, and the Australian government sent me up to do that. When I'd finished that backlog of murder trials, I was then given the responsibility of handling all of the criminal cases in the Solomons, and was astonished to find that about 98% of them, when they came across my desk, related to domestic violence and rape in domestic violence situations. And I didn't understand why it was so prevalent in what is really an idyllic country, until I started to look at what other judges in previous cases had been sentencing rapists for, and that was for an offence that carried a penalty of life imprisonment. They were getting 18 months jail or 2 years jail. And I thought, well, that's the problem. There isn't a deterrent. So I then started to increase the penalties, and I started to understand that where the problem began. The problem began in the home, because in the home the boys were treated far better than the girls. And I started then making tours of villages and churches and schools to talk about human rights and was astonished to understand and to realise that most females, most girls in the schools did not appreciate that their rights were precisely the same as boys' rights. So that started me thinking, well, why was that? When I came back to Australia, I made some investigations about our history to find that Australia is the second worst country in the world per 100,000 of population for the offence of rape. Now, when the rape trials came to us, they came via the police. Obviously, their victims go to the police first, and I'm led to understand that 3/4 of the rapes do not even get reported to the police. So of the quarter that are left, the 25%, they then go from the police to the DPP. Now, the DPP and the police rule out another half of those because either the witness changes her mind because she doesn't want to go through the trauma of going through a rape trial, or because there's a judgment made that there's not enough evidence. So what you're left with is about, let's say we've got 10% of the rapes that have happened. And if that represents, say, a dozen rapes in a year, when we take them to court, we get a conviction rate of about 3 or 4. So that suggests that the other 97% or the other 96% of women have all been lying. Now, that simply can't be right, because with any other criminal offence, you'd be disappointed if you didn't get a conviction rate of 60 to 70%. So I ask myself, why rape? Why is it happening in this particular crime? And I've come to the view that it's because our legal system does not give women a fair chance in the criminal trial, and that that must be changed. And that's one of my principal platforms. I'm sorry for the long explanation, but that brings me to the point why I'm concerned about rape laws.
But you know, how do you change that, Steve, you know, through legislation? Because we're talking, as you've mentioned, you know, it's kind of built into society, this kind of inequality. And how do we get girls or young women or women of any age to actually feel comfortable about pursuing what has happened to them?
It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be a process, firstly, of education for the parents, because I think it's too late, probably, for people of adult ages in our current generation. We have to take the long-term view, a process of education, of the fact that girls are just as important and have exactly the same rights as boys, for the parents to teach their kids, and then we have to take it to the schools. There has to be an education program in the schools, right through primary school, and if necessary into high school, that teaches these principles, because they're simply not accepted. Now, how do we change it? Firstly, by education, as I say. Secondly, the legal system needs to be changed, and you ask how. Well, looking at the way we treat rape trials these days, as your listeners will probably know, every criminal trial, every charge has to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. That's the criminal standard of proof. Now, what does that mean? That means that if a jury listens to witnesses in cases for and against the particular argument, and they have a reasonable doubt, then they acquit. But what do we have in rape trials? We have very few witnesses. There's very few witnesses who can see a rape happening. It's usually the victim versus the accused. Now, the victim can get up and say, "This man raped me," and she can say it in a perfectly reasonable way and a believable way. And the accused can then get into the witness box and say, "No, I didn't. I didn't rape her. It wasn't me, or she consented." And he can say that in a perfectly reasonable and believable way. What you've got there, word against word, is the definition of a reasonable doubt. And juries inevitably acquit. And that's the problem. The problem is that they are required to find beyond a reasonable doubt when one person says it's black and the other person says it's white. The way to fix that is to change the standard of proof. A standard of proof that is used in Europe and a standard of proof that is used in other cases, such as, and this is a legal definition of the standard, but it's called the preponderance of the evidence, the preponderance of the evidence. What that means is you consider all of the evidence, and even if you've got a doubt about some part of it, the preponderance of the evidence convinces you, satisfies you, that the offence has occurred. So you would convict even though there is a doubt about something. That's how we fix it.
So do you think the best way for though is to keep using juries?
Juries, well, that's a different question as to whether or not the jury system returns to us the sorts of results we are expecting. I tend to think, and I've had 45 years in front of juries, so I've got to know them, I tend to think that generally they return the right result. There are decisions that they make that are simply inexplicable, and that sometimes happens. But generally speaking, I think that the jury system works well. There are problems with it, and I would change certain aspects of the jury system too. But as a system, I think it's probably as good as any other.
You mentioned not just rape, but various forms of domestic violence. And of course,
yes,
young, you know, males are victims of rape and domestic violence as well. Would you take the same approach in domestic violent cases as rape, or do you think they're different?
Oh, no. The approach I would take in relation to domestic violence cases, and I'm mentioning women as victims because they are, by overwhelming majority, there are more women who are victims than men, which is not to say that I am ignoring the fact that some men are the victims. I accept that totally. But I'm talking in terms of the great majority of cases, it's women who are victims. What we've got in domestic violence in this country is an unseen epidemic. We've got the seen epidemic of COVID roaming our streets, but what we don't see, and what is equally as big a problem in my view, is this problem of domestic violence. We have one woman on average every week in Australia killed in domestic violence situations. One murder every week on average in domestic violence situations. Every 5 minutes of every day and every 5 minutes of every night, a police officer somewhere in Australia is answering a domestic violence emergency phone call. Now, that's an epidemic, and in a civilised society, we can't tolerate that. What normally happens when the police get those calls is that they go to the address that they're called to, and they see what's happened. They see the woman beaten up or the children beaten up and or crying, and they take the woman out of the house, the woman and the children out of the house, leaving the man staying in the house as if nothing at all has happened. And now, that is ridiculous. What they should do is leave the women and children in the house for safety and take the perpetrator out of the house. Let him find some emergency housing to live in. Don't place that responsibility on a woman. And it's not just violence, it's domestic abuse, and that's taking a lot of different forms: psychological abuse, financial abuse, cutting off friends, all sorts of different methods of abuse which have to be dealt with, because, as I said earlier, as a civilised community, we can no longer just turn our backs on it.
Do you think there's, when you put your hand up to be a police officer, do you think, would you have any insights into the amount of training that's carried out to help them comfortably deal with domestic violence situations?
I don't know the precise training. I know that there is some specialised training, but they are the wrong... They're the wrong organ to use in this situation, in my judgment. Certainly it is, if criminal offences have taken place, then the police are front and centre, and rightly so. And in most cases of domestic violence, there are criminal offences taking place. There are assaults, there are threats, there's choking, there's beatings, there's all sorts of criminal offences, there's sexual offences. And the same thing happens in a domestic violence trial, as I've just explained with the rape trials. It's word against word, and 9 times out of 10 the police take the view, and I understand why, that we're not going to proceed to any charging because it's simply one word against another word. That's where the system breaks down and does not treat women fairly.
Steve, thank you so much for your time. Now, you're actually standing for the Legislative Council. If somebody wants to vote for you, how do they go about that when they get to the voting box?
Thank you for the opportunity of explaining that. Can I just say this? If people want to find out what other policies we're standing on, and there are several others, they can see what they are at this website. It is realchangesa.com.au. So that's realchangesa.com.au. Realchangesa, all one word, .com.au. Our policies are outlined there. How they can vote for us is they will see Real Change SA above the line on the Legislative Council voting slip, put a tick in the box of Real Change SA, or put a number one, rather, in the box of Real Change SA, and that will be a vote for our party.
And they don't need to fill out any other boxes?
No, that's it.
Well, Steve, thanks very much for your time, and good luck on the 19th.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. Thank you.
That was Stephen Pallaras speaking with Dusty reporter Penny Gale about changes he wants to bring in if he's elected to the Legislative Council in the upcoming state election. If you want to find out more about his policies, his party is called Real Change SA and his website is realchangesa.com.au. Now, this interview has discussed some very important issues that do need to be talked about, but that can also raise some very uncomfortable feelings that people can struggle with. If you're finding yourself struggling with issues raised today, there is 24-hour support available to you via the telephone and the internet through 1-800-RESPECT. 1-800-RESPECT is a national sexual assault and domestic and family violence counselling service, and you can call them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on 1-800-737-732, or if you have access to the internet, you can get in touch with 1-800-RESPECT at 1800respect.org.au. If you happen to be in a domestic violence situation yourself and you need local support to deal with that, you can contact the Uniting Country Domestic Violence Support Team 24 hours a day on 0488 991 945. And if you're in immediate danger, do contact the police on 000. And remember, the Telstra phones in the streets at the moment, the public Telstra phones, are free of charge now, so you can use them anytime you need. The number for local support for domestic and family violence, again, is 0488 991 945. All right. In a moment, we'll return to the Dusty Eclectica. That is the Dusty playlist. But for now, to round out that very informative interview between Stephen Pallaras and Penny Gale, we're going to play you a track from Tony Childs. This is called I've Got to Go Now.
To think I knew this man, the tenderness, not the back of his hand. It's been 2 weeks since he last had a drink, but the time bomb's ticking, I can never sleep. It would